How important is it to teach our nation's Christian heritage and even basic civics to the next generation? Dr. Richard Land, retired seminary president and the executive editor of the Christian Post, writes this, quote, "Let us tell our story to our young people and urge them to take up the cause and lift the torch of freedom high enough for all to see." Will Durant, one of the great historians of the last century, has observed that history is to a nation what memory is to an individual. Without memory, a person is unknowable to himself and anyone else, end quote. You deprive a nation of its history, and that nation loses its identity, its meaning, and its frame of reference. Unfortunately, that is what we have done often to our young people in recent years. We have utterly neglected our history or have distorted it by claiming that we were founded on slavery, which is malicious, malignant nonsense, end quote. From Dr. Richard Land. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. Dr. Richard Land joins us now to unpack all these things. Dr. Land, it's great to have you back on the program. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you. It's good to be with you.
Sure. Okay, so go ahead and wax eloquent on this story. Do we need to teach our heritage to the next generation? Of course. How are we failing in that, and what do we need to do to rectify that situation?
Well, first of all, we're failing. I mean, it's obvious from just talking to young people and just look at the curriculum. I mean, when I was in high school, we had a semester of civics where we learned about our governmental system, and we had history where we learned about American history. That is now been gone by the way in high schools and secondary schools across the country. And, you know, this quote from Will Durant is absolutely right, that if you deprive a nation of its history, it's like depriving a person of their identity, of their own personal history. They don't know who they are. Just think about, if you lost your memory, how would you know who you were? If you lost your memory of your childhood and of your adolescence and of your 20s or your 30s, how would you know who you were? What would be your frame of reference? That's what we've done in America to a whole generation of young people who do not understand this great history of our country. Are we a flawless nation? No. But I'll stack our history up against anyone else's. More often than not, we've done the right thing. We've tried to do the right thing. And when we've done the wrong thing, we've tried to rectify it. And we have a tremendous ongoing struggle to live out and live up to the promises of our founding documents, that all men are created equal and they're endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. And that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And of all the nations in the world, we're the one that would suffer the most from losing our history, because we do not have ethnicity, blood, and land to hold us together. We are a nation of many ethnicities held together by our common allegiance to a core set of values that are enumerated in the Declaration of Independence. If we lose our understanding of that, then the centrifugal forces will cause us to fly apart as a nation.
Let's take an example, okay, as far as curriculum and so forth. Okay. The 1619 Project, endorsed by the New York Times, very liberal. It actually presents a very distorted picture about slavery, says that America was founded, and the founding fathers, basically created this country in order to, continue the slavery, the institution of slavery and so forth, which is not true. But in the meantime, there was a 1776 commission that was created to write a rebuttal and provide an alternative type curriculum for the schools as well. The problem is that so many of the liberal school boards would much rather have the 1619 Project, which is full of lies, than have the 1776 Commission. So what's a parent to do?
Well, elect like-minded people to the school board and imbue the school board with some intestinal fortitude. And take charge of the public schools in your area. And if you can't do that, then you take your child out of the public school. And if you cannot afford to send them to a Christian school, you homeschool them. You have the right to do that. And we must do that. The 1619 Project, I had the good fortune of having one of the great historians of our nation, Dr. McPherson, as a professor in college. And he has written that the 1619 Project is dangerous nonsense. Historically, it's just nonsense. Our country was founded by the Puritans on, we came to be a city on a hill, to light the way to the old, to the old world, to show the old world how it should be done. Our soul, the soul of our nation is the soul of the Puritans, not the slaveholders. And to distort it the way they've distorted it and to use it to foster, racial animosity, and victimhood is a disgrace and it's dangerous.
Was that at Princeton, that professor?
Yes. Yes. Dr. McPherson. He's, has won the Pulitzer Prize and many other prizes and wrote a, probably one of the best histories of the Civil War called Battle Cry for Freedom. And he is, you know, strongly supportive of the abolitionists and strongly supportive of the anti-slavery movement. But even he says, this is nonsense. This is absolute nonsense. You know, the Puritans came to this country in 1620 and they set up the Mayflower Compact. And that is who we are. That's why John Kennedy talked about, that we were going to be, the friend of anybody who wants to fight for liberty, and why Woodrow Wilson had us fight the war to end all wars, and Roosevelt called us the arsenal of democracy. It's because we as a nation have always been more than just a country. We have been a cause, and that cause is human freedom.
You know, you mentioned John F. Kennedy. He said in his first, well, his only inaugural address that, you know, our forebears believed this, and this is what we still believe, that our rights come not from the generous hand of the government, but from God, the hand of God. That's the key to everything, isn't it, God?
It is. And Kennedy, you know, he could have, you know, Thomas Jefferson could have accused Kennedy of plagiarism. I mean, literally, it is. He's channeling Thomas Jefferson when he says that. And, you know, even you look at our founding fathers, they knew slavery was wrong. They knew it was wrong. Jefferson knew it was wrong. Jefferson said we'd had to try to end it. He's the one who ended the slave trade. They just knew that at that point in time, they could not have a country unless they were willing to tolerate slavery for a time. But they knew it had to eventually end. And they set up the procedure for doing so in the governing documents of the country.
And it was done so. In fact, there was even a lengthy section in the original draft of the Declaration of Independence by Jefferson where he talked about a Christian king is tolerating this and propagating this terrible practice of slavery and how evil it was. But basically the rest of the committee decided, you know, we want this to be adopted unanimously, and it's not going to be if we continue with this slavery part, but we'll set up the framework by which slavery will be one day undone, and it was.
Well, and if you go to the Jefferson Memorial, just look at the quotes. You know, I tremble for my country when I look at the bondage of the black man, that it's written in God's providence that these people should be free. I mean, you know, it's clear that it was a terrible evil. They knew it was a terrible evil. They could not have formed the United States of America if they weren't willing to tolerate slavery for a time. And of course, 350,000 Americans died to free the slaves between 1861 and 1865. That's how many Union casualties there were.
Well, and there were about 700,000 total, you know, and the result of that battle, I mean, the result of that whole war ultimately did end in the end of slavery. But let's talk about civic education. When did civic education essentially get dropped out of the curriculum in your average schools today?
In the 1970s and 80s, and I don't know the reasons why, of course, you know, we could do a terrible lament for public education in our country. I grew up in a blue collar neighborhood and went to a working class high school in Houston, Texas. And I got an education that enabled me to compete successfully for a full scholarship to Princeton University, where I graduated magna cum laude. That kind of education is not widely available in public schools today. And that's a sad thing because we're losing, tremendous talent. I believe God distributes talent equally among human beings. And when we do not give opportunity to those who are from more disadvantaged backgrounds, we're wasting terrible, terrible human natural talent.
Wow, that's a great point. You know, it's so interesting, though, too. Think about, you know, an education today, even in a prestigious school like Princeton, or maybe even, I should say, in especially in prestigious schools, a lot of them are so given over to political correctness that, you know, it's almost as if, well, a degree 40 years ago with that particular study, you know, that was good. But a degree, you know, somebody comes out with the same degree today and, you know, maybe they're just, you know, have a lot of stuff that needs to be unlearned.
Well, look, when I was there, I was at Princeton in between 65 and 69. And, you know, it was pretty liberal then. I mean, you know, we had the Students for a Democratic Society, we had anti-war rallies, and 82% of my professors, when polled, said they voted for George McGovern, which means they were pretty liberal. But, you know, it was not near, you were free to be a conservative. You weren't actively discriminated against if you were a conservative. I'm told by students now at Princeton and places like Princeton, if they don't put the right answers on the tests, they get penalized. They get ostracized. There is clear discrimination and censorship against conservative viewpoints.
Well, here's an interesting thought in terms of teaching our heritage to the next generation. Just think about this. What if every American were somehow required, or if they learned this, they would then receive a certificate or something like that, to know the basic things that a new person coming to America who wants to become an American citizen, they have to go through a little test, and it includes, you know, stuff about the pilgrims and religious liberty and so forth, the three branches of government, you know, just some basic stuff about America. Wouldn't that be interesting if more and more modern Americans today would learn what wannabe Americans have to know in order to pass that that citizenship test?
Well, you're right. I'm excuse me. I have said all along that the basic high school graduate today knows less about his citizenship than naturalized citizens do because of the course of study they have to go through in order to become citizens. I mean, this should be the bare minimum. I mean, I had to memorize the Gettysburg Address when I was in high school. I had to know the three branches of government. You know, I had to know the basic facts of American history. We all did in order to graduate. And, you know, the Gettysburg Address, in my opinion, every American, in order to graduate from high school, should have to read the Declaration of Independence, should have to read and memorize the Gettysburg Address, and should have to read the I Have a Dream speech by Martin Luther King and the letter from the Birmingham jail.
Yeah, those are great, great writings. You know, by the way, and I don't think she was kidding, about a year and a half ago or so, AOC, a congresswoman, actually said the three branches of government, and she said the House, the Senate, and the presidency.
Well, you're not surprised by that. What AOC doesn't know would fill all the public libraries in the United States.
Okay, we have 40 seconds to wrap up and give any closing thoughts. And here's your website, christianpost.com.
Well, I think that we have to undertake, parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles, we have to undertake to do what the schools aren't doing, and that is to teach our heritage to our young people. We all have a circle of influence. We need to exercise that circle of influence with children, with grandchildren, with nieces, with nephews, with aunts and uncles, and just reach out and teach what it means to be an American, what our heritage is as Americans, so that we do not lose our identity and that we can go forward being the force for freedom and the force for justice in the world that we have been.
All right, Dr. Richard Land, thanks so much for being with us. All the best.